What's up, basketball world? Coming at you with another on-court onslaught podcast. This is our 23rd or 24th. I'm not sure it matters. We're coming at you with what happened in the finals. We'll talk about that. And there was a trade in the NBA to talk about. Not really monumental, but it affects two really bad teams, so it's always worth discussing. And so what did you think of the game last night, Brandon?
It was a bone-stomping. Miami came out running, defensively stopped Oklahoma from doing anything pretty much. Kevin Durant was the only Thunder who really did anything. Westbrook had 19 points, but it was it didn't seem like a desired effort to get those 19 points, and he didn't get much more. So Miami just bone stomping. Like I said, James played a terrific game, triple-double. D-Wade and Chris Bosh, 20 and 24 points. Mike Miller comes out of nowhere. Shane Battier, he scored 23 points. Shane Battier and Mario Chalmers in double digits. They were just hitting from all cylinders. Defense, everything.
It's difficult to beat a team when they're hitting it like that. At the end of the Boston series, I just didn't think any team could knock the Heat off. I think LeBron's really hitting his stride as a player. I hate to say it, but he's probably the best player in the league now. Sorry, Kobe Bryant, you've had your time. Your time has came and passed. And I hate saying things like that because I really still don't like LeBron as a person, but I try to separate that from viewing him as a player.
That's funny because I'm writing a piece for allyoucaneat.com. That's you, which is a U, not Y-O-U. But I'm writing a piece right now, like as we speak, about LeBron James and the aftermath of the championship and his. It quiets the haters of his personality and distinguishes the difference of a character and basketball talent and where you should draw your lines and stuff like that. It's kind of funny you brought it up.
It's a very pertinent topic to a lot of the media heads right now. It will be. I mean, you're still going to have guys like Skip Bayless shooting LeBron down every chance he gets, and probably me too. I wrote LeBron in what you would call an open letter on Hardcourt Houdini, you know, explaining to him, good. Congrats on your first ring, but you got five or six more to win before you can start throwing your name around with Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan.
Right, and I agree with that. I heard, you know, you'll always hear the Michael Jordan, Kobe comparisons, but when I think about it, like, who did he move up on the list of a better player than? I'd say, you know, Charles Barkley, Reggie Miller,
Pippen.
Stuff like that.
Pippen.
What's that? Pippen. Who?
Pippen, yeah.
Like Scottie Pippen?
Yeah.
Oh, no, never.
Not ahead of Pippen yet?
I don't think so, no. Not just because Pippen had rings, but Pippen did everything. Like, he had a post game. He had an ulterior game.
Well, if that's the case, he still hasn't cracked my top 20 then.
I don't think James is in my top 20 either. I really don't.
Somewhere in the 20s.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great player. If they did a new top 50, I definitely think he should be in it or do a top 80 or whatever with that.
Yeah.
He should definitely be on the team. James is great. But you cannot compare him to Jordan. Jordan or Kobe.
Not yet. Excuse me. That's my allergies lab in Basketball Nation. Kicking me in the butt right now as we're trying to podcast. Anyway, yeah, I don't see him being the all-time greats yet, but could he be? Yeah, I think he could enter the pantheon of great players that Bill Simmons talks about, the top 10 or 12 ever to play the game. I think he could be there someday.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is just his ninth season. I know it took him nine seasons to win one, and Norris Cole, it only took him one. But at the same time, I mean, nine seasons in 14 seasons, he could have won five rings. You never know, so...
Well, you know what also is upsetting me, not to change the subject, but now, out of the four teams that entered the league in the 88 to 90 expansion era, this was a Facebook status update of mine, Miami's won two rings, Charlotte doesn't exist anymore, Minnesota's won none, and Orlando's won none.
Well, Miami's, if you ask me, they've had better management. I mean, look what Pat Riley's been able to do.
Oh, they're also the biggest market of the four teams.
Right.
Well, the three that still exist.
Deservedly so, I'd say.
Yeah, I guess it's just frustrating even more so because, you know, they're the other Florida team. And from the early Magic days, we had the rivalry of Greg Kite and Ronnie Cicely, and it's just spiraled into something we can't even compare ourselves to. Now they have two rings, we have none.
Ronnie Cicely, I love him, dude.
You love Greg Kite, too?
Not bad, not a bad name drop, either.
He'd be a great backup center today. Somehow he started for the Magic, but you know that's what happens when a team comes into the league and they have no talent.
Right.
He would still be a good backup center, or somewhere along the lines of Aaron Gray, just a big body that comes in and bangs, gets a few boards, picks up a few fouls, and goes back to the bench. But I think a lot of those backup center types from the early 90s, a lot of them would start today. Of course, he wouldn't, but...
I think a lot of them would.
I mean, I think about a guy... I always bring him up when I talk about that particular topic. John Sally would start on most of the teams in the league today.
Oh, yeah. I just seen him on First Take today, too. I definitely think he'd be a starter. But I do want to bring it back to Miami real quick.
Okay.
I mean, the hoop was all around James and stuff like that. We know that. But what about Juwan Howard? Only member of the Fab Five in the University of Michigan to win a ring, and it took him to the age of 39 to do it.
That's persistence for you.
For sure.
I'm happy for him. Ken commented about that on Loud About Basketball, Ken Langston, and I said, now I can die happy knowing Juwan Howard won a ring. And he rebuts with like, well, he didn't win a Big Ten championship, didn't win an NCAA championship, and now he finally got some hardware. So I kind of felt bad after saying that.
I know, it's crazy. And then, like, Mike Miller scores 23 points in the last game, could hardly walk. Like, he couldn't stand up straight. His back, his knees, like, everything is just shot. You think it's time for him to hang it up? He's got a ring.
I would. I'd hang it up now. He went out with a great swan call if this was his last game.
For sure. It was a masterpiece. I mean, all he did was spot up and shoot, but...
He's another one I always wonder what could have been.
I don't know. I think he had a pretty solid career. I mean, it wasn't, you know, Hall of Fame status.
Yeah, but he won Rookie of the Year.
He's had a solid career. I mean, it wasn't bad.
I figured after winning Rookie of the Year, he'd go on to make some All-Star teams at least. He never made an All-Star team.
Some people don't. He just put up solid numbers. First of all, he was on the Memphis Grizzlies for a long time. They really didn't, you're on teams like that. I mean, you got to get more wins to get All-Star.
Yeah, a lot more wins than what he did. To get noticed if you're a marginal type player, if he had been, I guess Sharif Abdur-Rahim when he was there made some All-Star teams. I think pretty sure he did. What a understated career he had. Sharif Abdur-Rahim, a great player, just never received any attention whatsoever. Well, there was a trade down in the NBA. Again, I said it's between two really bad teams, so I'm not sure how significant it is to everybody, but Okafor and Trevor Ariza were shipped off to Washington for Rashard Lewis and a pick. I'm not even sure it matters if we debate who that trade really helped more, but there was a trade.
Yeah, right. Well, just to make conversation, I'm going to say Washington won up. Ariza's a good defender, can score, and Okafor, to me, is one of the best interior defenders in the league. So they were horrible defensively, and they got defensive help on the wing and inside. Rashard Lewis, I think his career is pretty much over.
Pretty sure he's an expiring contract, though.
Yeah, that too, so they can just get rid of him. And maybe they pick up something good for the pick, but I think Washington wins.
Well, it didn't make sense for New Orleans to hang on to players that they know aren't going to be a part of their long-term rebuilding plan. You know, Okafor is a good player. He has some good years left. Ariza is a great role player. But you don't build a team based around role players. You build a team based around Anthony Davis, and they have the number one pick, and they're going to grab him.
Exactly. You said it best. I don't know what else to say to that.
I mean, even to some extent, you could look at it as clearing the way for Anthony Davis, because Okafor is the starting center a lot of the time. So ship him out, and now we got a spot for Anthony Davis to step in and do much better things. You think Charlotte could make the... Or Charlotte... And we were just talking about Charlotte Hornets, but you think New Orleans Hornets could... make the playoffs if they have a healthy Anthony Davis and a healthy Eric Gordon?
It's possible. They're going to be fighting for the last seed, though. I don't think they're going to be like a 5 or 6 seed. They'll be like a 7 or 8 if they do make it.
So you don't think Anthony Davis is the next David Robinson, come in and turn the worst team in the league into a 50-win team?
No, not yet. I think he's going to take a couple years to develop into greatness.
Yeah, Robinson was about as NBA-ready as anybody ever could have been after staying in the Navy those extra 2 years to finish off his commitment. At that point, he had grown 6 inches. He was a man. He was ready to play in the NBA, and he dominated from day one.
I think Davis is going to be an NBA stud, like really good. But right now, I think Thomas Robinson is more NBA-ready than he is.
Yeah, probably. Do you think Anthony Davis could be as good as Alonzo Mourning?
Yeah, he could be.
I'm not going to give him Shaq status. I don't think he'll be that good.
I'll give him Mourning status.
Yeah, I would say Mourning. Mutombo, somewhere in there. Mourning, Mutombo range. I kind of put Mourning and Mutombo on the same level. Mourning was better offensively. Mutombo is slightly better defensively, but I lumped them together.
What do you put Marcus Camby on?
Camby's a tough one to rate, actually. I'm not sure where I have him on our top 200, which we'll hit this summer for y'all. We might just do a top 100. I'm not sure. It's quite a voluminous project for us to take on. We did it last summer and lost it all to a hard drive crash, so this time it's going on a flash drive to prevent that from even happening.
Well, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Marcus Camby was kind of the same player Anthony Davis was. In high school and junior high, he was short, and he was like a guard.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they both hit their spurts, and boom, they're 6'9", 6'10", whatever they are.
Yeah, but the difference between them two is Camby got goofy when he grew, and Anthony Davis didn't get quite as goofy. He's still a little goofy, but not as goofy as Camby got.
What do you mean, how did he get goofy?
I don't know. Do you watch him?
He's a defensive player of the year winner.
I don't know. He just doesn't seem to have the height of coordination to me.
I don't know. He blocks shots and gets rebounds. That's all I need him for.
Yeah, I see your point, Dig. I'm still excited about this draft. I know we've talked about it a lot. I get more excited about the draft than the NBA Finals usually. I don't call me a weird fan, there's so many different players I'm excited to see, not only where they go, but what kind of pros they become. I keep mentioning Kid Gilchrist. I think he might be the best player in the draft that nobody's talking about. You keep hearing Drummond thrown around, and Anthony Davis, of course, and Thomas Robinson, but nobody's really talking about Kid Gilchrist. I think he could be possibly the rookie of the year out of that class.
Here's a useless stat for all to know. On my 2K12 game, the rookie of the year after my season was done was Bradley Beal.
Really?
He ended up, Anthony Davis was in fourth.
Wow.
On the ballot team.
Interesting. I guess those NBA 2K voters had a trick up their sleeve.
Right? Something. For sure.
Well, that's going to do it for us for an Encore Onslaught. We're coming at you with a pretty short podcast this time. We just wanted to kind of sum up the finals. We'll be coming at you more as the draft approaches. We'll probably focus extensively on the draft. There'll probably be a few more insignificant trades before draft night when all the big fireworks go down. Quick shout out to Steel & Home Sports. That is our official sponsor and place for your sports memorabilia. You can find us both on Fansided's blogs. Brandon's at All You Can Heat. That's you with a U, not the letter, not spelled out Y-O-U. AllYouCanHeat.com. I'm on Hardcourt Houdini. That's H-O-U-D-I-N-I. If you didn't know how to spell Houdini, which I don't think I did when I joined the site, so it's okay if you don't. But we'll get it to you guys later.
Hey.